I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I was just enlightened during the break here. Brandon Edwards is with us here in studio. Of course, former third overall pick out of Michigan. We talked about the Browns. We get to the Jets a little bit. Of course, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And we're talking about how on football Sundays back in the day, we were kids, you know, Catholic mass can be a little long, a little Latin, you know, a lot of Latin. I'm like, you know, I'm running home and I can't wait to, you know, I want to watch football. I was there for an hour. No. You guys were there for 3 hours at church on Sundays.
What were you?
Three hours.
I was Baptist. What were you?
Christian?
Yeah, so.
So not a nomination.
Yeah,
but we still go ahead.
Baptist, 3 hours in the South. Southern Baptist, I mean, it's forever.
That's easy. A long day,
you got,
man.
You got the Martin Luther King fan.
What'd you say about the collection plate? Makes its way around twice, right?
Yeah, it comes around a couple times.
Maybe like three. And don't let someone start talking in tongues. It's over.
Okay. He's like, you know, we want to send it around again. 10:30 to 1:30. New suits.
All right, so. This is amazing. The first Monday night game ever was the Jets and the Browns back in 1970. And we get that tonight. Jets are obviously in a very different position.
Right.
You know, Darnold, he was the hope, and he still is the hope, and I believe he will be very good. I talked about how when you first went to the Browns, the sense you got from the franchise, when you first went to the Jets, what was your sense of the Jets, who hadn't won and still haven't since Joe Namath in Super Bowl III?
I thought the Jets, I saw the organization. You can just feel like the spirit within the building. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is not just the players, not just the locker rooms, not when you go out there, the coaches and the players. Like the whole energy around the facility, which at the time, I think it was only 2 years old, the new one in Florham Park.
Yep.
Like the people in community relations, like they had good energy, good vibe. The people in media relations, like they were very cool. And like the way we allowed to do interviews, like the lunch people were amazing. Like the training staff was great. Like I came there, I was like, oh, they're about it. Like I felt like something good was gonna happen. Obviously, we went 9-7, made the playoffs. Next year, we really went 11-5 and did it. But you can feel a good sense of energy and know what an organization is gonna be just by like everybody in the building, not just the players. But the players, they came to play.
Yeah.
We got in, we got out, we worked hard.
Yeah, but it was short-lived. And we were talking about Mark Sanchez. They put him in a little bit of a tough situation. I mean, yeah. No, Sanchez.
You said short-lived. Yeah. I said, get the Tannenbaum.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, the
Tannenbaum. Put him in a tough situation. And then it kind of just, it spiraled. When it spiraled, it spiraled, like, fast and hard. And then Rex is out. And then all next thing you know, they're trying to climb their way back up. I've always been curious about this. Obviously, being a Giant in New York, New Jersey, I should say, it's always felt like Giant country here.
It is,
right? But the Jets are here.
True,
and there's a trend towards equality. Was there ever that feeling of inferiority over there relative to the Giants?
I don't think it. I think that would be a better suited question for after me or right before me. Because when I was there, we were the team in New York.
Yeah, you
were. I mean by New York, I'm talking about the Giants. I'm talking about the professional sports team. Everybody sucked.
Yep. Except the Yankees.
I was just about to say, except the Yankees.
Don't defend my squad. Don't make my squad look bad. You wear the Yankee hat.
I love the Yankees.
More than the Tigers coming from Michigan?
I love the Tigers and Yankees equally, but I don't love either as more than I love the Braves. I lived in Atlanta for 6 years.
You guys got three baseball teams. Hey. What, do you just pick who's good on any given year? What do you mean you got three teams?
I lived in Atlanta for 6 years when I was younger.
So what? Where are you from? Come on.
He grew up in Atlanta.
I moved in Atlanta when I was six. I moved back to Detroit when I was 12. When I was six, I saw the best pitching staff ever.
Here we go. You mean the team that lost to us in the World Series? That team back in 96? Talking about Maddox and Glavine and those boys?
Smoltz.
That's Smoltzy.
It's all good. They got smoke, but they figured it out eventually with Andrew Jones and Chipper Jones.
I got you.
By the way, that's why I was a Braves fan growing up.
That staff was TBS. It was ridiculous. They were on TBS
every day. Every day.
But I didn't feel the inferiority because we were good at that time.
Yeah.
You guys weren't, and we were kind of holding it down for the city, with the exception of your Yanks. But you can get the sense from the fans that they feel inferior. Like, that's what I will say. The fans, like, you mentioned the Giants. It's like, ah, ah, ah. Meanwhile, if we were talking to Giants fan, it's not the same. Giants fan, that's,
yeah, it's true. It's kind of like how the Yankees look at the Mets.
Exactly.
I'm a Jet fan. I get it. Yeah. This is a Giants, and it has been for a long time. Now, Giants, they've lost their way, and maybe this changes at some point. But there's no doubt it's Giants town. All right, let me, Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Give me your all-encompassing view of everything. How he handled himself with the Raiders. Do you believe he should have played this pass yesterday with the Pats? Or Antonio Brown?
I think he's first and foremost a tremendous talent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to deny. His work ethic is second to none on a football field. A lot of guys work hard, but he's different. He has that Kobe-type work ethic. He's a good father. Like, you always see him with his kids. He's always showing love to his kids. He's always doing that. Got to say positive first.
Okay.
I think that there might be, he might need to see a therapist. Like, I think I watch him and do a lot of things. I hear a lot of things of him, and it's screaming out, this guy needs some professional help. And that's my honest to God opinion of it. I think the way he handled the Raiders situation was disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think it's disrespectful and classless, if I'm being honest. And I don't use that a lot to other wide receivers, but I think it was disrespectful. I think he should have played at the end of the day. I mean, it's a business. Yeah.
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment. Right? That's what we're doing. I just think that he needs to see a therapist, see somebody, and pull him back. Because I think one thing that the NFL is allowed to do now is you're allowed to brand yourself. Like, back in the day, you kind of really couldn't brand yourself, mm-hmm. like, around the time when you were first starting. It was like, if Nike...
Tiki found a way. He had some good endorsements.
Well, you know what? Because I did it outside of football.
Exactly.
I was doing stuff outside of... Nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, if Nike or Gatorade is not coming to you back then you kind of like nothing. Now, with social media, with the internet being, you know, so many brands, so many things out there, you can brand yourself. And I think some guys are branding themselves, not necessarily too much, but where they're forgetting about what got you there.
Yeah.
And now it's a battle. I got to brand myself, but I also got to represent the franchise. And sometimes they clash. And when they clash is when you're doing it wrong. They should never clash. You should be able to brand yourself,
mm-hmm.
make money for yourself, your family, et cetera. But you should be there for your team, and you should be, you know, an intricate part of what the team is trying to do.
I think that's why it gets disconnected with him, because you know he's an unbelievable talent.
Right.
But at the end of the day, football is the team game. Right, baseball is a team game, but not really. You know what I mean? Basketball, you can win with one or two great players.
Right.
You don't have to depend. Like, your center could go stand in the corner for 90% of the game. It's not going to have an impact. Football, you got to depend on everybody. And if you're not there emotionally and in full, it just comes off weird. And I wonder, and I'm thinking about your book, Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life, because you were outspoken like I was, as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL receiver,
right.
and beyond. Like, there's this perception about really good wide receivers. You almost got to be a diva.
Right.
Because the confidence, like, you have to build your confidence. Is there a role for that? Because we see it with so many of the really, Odell to an extent.
Right. Julio Jones is pretty quiet.
Julio Jones is the exception.
Him
so
and
is DeAndre Hopkins.
And
DeAndre Hopkins. But there's
so is Michael Thomas. Three of the best in the game.
Yeah, but hold on. Michael Thomas was a second round draft pick who nobody expected was going to be who he was.
Antonio Brown was a fourth round pick.
I know, but look at Antonio Brown now is my point. You know what I mean? So it's become a cliche.
Right.
So it's not the rule. But it's a cliche. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of those receivers that have gone that route have either one played for huge markets,
mm-hmm.
or they've been someone that had to prove why they got there. So you look at a guy like Randy Moss, who's outspoken too.
Yeah,
Randy Moss was pissed off. He was pissed off all those teams passed on him. They thought he was a knucklehead. They thought he was a butthole. He said, okay, cool, I'll be that, as well as be the arguably greatest wide receiver of all time. Look at Antonio Brown. He's been trying to prove himself since going to Central and not mm-hmm. the big school. Now he has to show himself at Pittsburgh. Is he the better receiver out of him, Emmanuel Sanders, and I can't think of the other one.
Mike Wallace was there.
Mike Wallace was there.
You look, at, as well.
You look at Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens goes to Chattanooga. Goes to a small school, Tennessee Chattanooga. Then he goes to San Fran. And is he Jerry Rice? Is he better than J.J. Stokes? Can he outlast Tyre Streaks? Well, then he does it. And he does the same thing. Chad Ocho. So you're seeing a pattern. Chad Ochocinco goes to JUCO.
Yeah.
Or you get a guy like Odell. He's in New York in the time like this. Like with this media, with the Nene and the flosses and all that. This is the media time for a guy like him with social media to be in a city like New York where everybody is
focusing
in on.
Let me see.
So my thing is, if you're trying to prove something or a big market, I think those are guys you get.
It's interesting.
It is very interesting, yeah. Tegan. It's Braylon Edwards with us here in studio. Listen, at the end of the day, it's only a watch, but it's deeper than that. You know, you want to wear it the first game. All right, they're going to give you a little pop. I'll make some money. I get it.
You got like $11 million of brand like equity for that watch.
I hear you. But still.
If he would have had 150 and they win, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I would. Knowing me, yeah, I would have mentioned it. I wouldn't have believed it.
The masses wouldn't have.
Maybe.
Like, I'm watching Chris Bussard. I watched his rant about it, and I'm like,
I didn't hear what Chris said, but I'm probably more in line with Chris.
At the end of the day,
it's selfish, though, Braylon. But why would you do that? And he's going to wear it tonight.
Okay, so
it's selfish. It's stupid. It's unnecessary.
But why is it selfish? Let me debate you on this. Why is it selfish?
It's selfish because, number one, nobody else is doing it. I mean, it's no one else is doing it on the team.
Deshaun Watson had a big diamond chain. It said 815.
It's all good.
That came out 2 weeks ago in the game. It came out 25 times, but he played a heck of a game. Right. They should have won. He found Kenny Stills late in that game. They should have won. The way he's a quiet guy. A lot of people love and respect. Nobody had anything to say. That's a diamond chain versus a rubber plastic watch.
Yeah, but first of all, if it's a rubber plastic watch is $200,000, I don't know that it's made of rubber, but it's probably more platinum.
It's the inner workings.
Yeah. I got you. No, but it's a distraction. They lose. They give up 40 points to the Titans. They play terribly. Baker regressed. And now for a week they're getting questions. What about the watch? What about the watch? What about the watch? I understand that there are a lot of people who didn't play the game like you guys did, admittedly.
Yeah.
That take something small and make it into a huge mess. And I'm probably guilty of that on occasion as well.
Yeah.
But you know what? There comes a time just to conform.
But let me promise you this.
Conform.
Let me promise you this. And Braylon, you will back this up 100%. If you had a guy, even if it was the diva on your team that wore a watch, you would actually be like, oh, that's cool.
I wish I thought of that.
Exactly. I'm serious.
I wish I thought of that.
It does not affect. It is not affecting the Browns locker room at all.
No, I don't think it is.
Not
I'll be fair with that. But it's. You know, you bring up Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson hasn't had one public, you know, misstep or indiscretion. Odell Beckham Jr., while I know he's a really good person,
he's been a distraction.
He's not abusing women. He's not doing drugs. Right. There's no DWIs. There's nothing dangerous about his life.
Yeah,
but,
you're right.
I mean, here he's going to be 30 soon, and he's still a child sometimes.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
He likes the attention. Anything wrong with that?
I like attention.
Just tell the lineman to stop jumping off sides. We'll have these issues.
Always passing the buck, these wide receivers.
Doing it my way, my outspoken life as a Michigan Wolverine NFL receiver and beyond. I'm looking forward to the beyond. You got some cool stuff working in the works.
I can't wait to read it, man. It's so
including
far,
in Detroit, which a lot of people think is perpetually in the doldrums. It's actually turning.
Turn the corner, man. Like Detroit will rival probably any city, with the exception of this one, the big one, in 10 years, any city.
It's a big statement. You know, I got a lot of love for Detroit. I always, anytime it comes up on the show, you and I were talking off air. I used to live in Troy, West Bloomfield, Birmingham. The suburbs are great. No, the suburbs are great. The goal and the incentive was to get downtown revitalized, you know, around Greektown and all that, and they have. It's coming. Yeah. I'm happy for Detroit. That's good to hear.
It's going
to
be fun. Now we got to get some teams that can win some games.
Oh, God. Matthew Stafford, do you think it's time for the Lions to maybe start looking a little bit? So we got to take a break here. But, I mean, at what point does it expire? He hasn't won anything yet.
It's tough because the Lions organization, I know how they operate. It's more of a business, more so than trying to win a Super Bowl. They haven't always put the best people around him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you give him all this money, but then you don't put an offensive line around him for years. Finally gets an inkling of a running game. Kerryon Johnson, supposedly, who hasn't played well yet. So, I mean, you've kind of pigeonholed him. So a lot of it's not his fault. You know, then you get Calvin Johnson. You don't really put anybody opposite of Calvin Johnson, et cetera, so he can spread the ball around and learn how to play with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, he just learned how to close his eyes and throw Hail Marys to Calvin. So it's not all his fault, but there are a lot of things that he should have grown out of by now. So it's I think it's both their faults. A little bit more Matt Stafford.
Well, listen, the Red Wings, they won a couple of cups. The Pistons went back-to-back with the bad boys.
What have you done for me lately?
But the Lions haven't done anything. I mean, the Tigers in 84, they were 35-5 to start the season. They win the World Series. They should have won it in 87. I mean, I know they're down the last 2-3. And Tigers handled their business for a while as well.
They did.
Lions are a doormat.
They just need a bullpen. If they would have ever got a bullpen, Tigers would have won 3 easy.
They had a lot of weapons. I can't disagree. Hey, great spot, man. Great spots. Plural. Two segments.
Appreciate you, Braylon.
Braylon Edwards. Do it my way. Jets and Browns. 5 seconds. Who wins the game tonight? Go.
Browns. 28-10.
Yeah, nice. Whatever. Get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.